Welcome to the debate. Today, we aren't just discussing economics. We are looking at a diagnosis. We are digging into Dr. John McMurtry's seminal text, The Cancer Stage of Capitalism, From Crisis to Cure. Specifically, we are looking at the 2013 edition. And the central question we really have to wrestle with here isn't metaphorical. It is literal.
Right. Is the global capitalist system simply a market model that needs a tune-up? Or does it function biologically and diagnostically as a metastatic cancer attacking the life support systems of our planet?
Exactly. And I will be taking the position that McMurtry's description is not just poetic license. It is a rigorous explanatory model. I'll argue that our current economic order has mutated, and it operates on a strict code of money sequence growth that is systematically destroying what he calls life capital, meaning our social and environmental health.
And I will be arguing from a position of skepticism regarding that entire medical pathology framework. I mean, my stance is that while the system absolutely has negative externalities, framing the entire global economy as a terminal disease ignores the complexities of market efficiency. It ignores alternative explanations for our crises.
Well, I think to really understand the text, we have to start by clarifying that core thesis. McMurtry argues that the global market has fundamentally mutated. We're not talking about Adam Smith's vision of a local butcher and baker exchanging goods to feed a village. The system operates on a new genetic code he calls the money sequence.
Which is essentially just money making more money.
Right. It is a cycle where money is invested solely to multiply itself, with absolutely zero commitment to life functions. Think of it like biology. In a healthy body, cells have a life sequence. They consume energy to maintain the lung or the heart, but in a cancer, cells decouple from that function. They just multiply for their own sake, blindly, until they kill the organism.
Mm-hmm.
McMurtry says the market has undergone this exact mutation. We are dealing with a supranational sovereignty of private investors where the only goal is the exponential growth of money numbers. Things like air, water, social cohesion, they are completely invisible to the system. Or, in economic terms, they are just externality.
I mean, I acknowledge the gravity of the crises he mentions. Ecological degradation and radical inequality are real. But calling the global economy a cancer feels... well, it feels deeply reductive. The text essentially dismisses standard economic defenses, like the efficiency of supply and demand, as magic thinking.
He does use that exact phrase, yes.
Right. And I find that problematic. Markets still respond to human desires. If we want cheap energy, the market provides it. The text dismisses our freedom to consume as unfreedoms masked as freedoms. But isn't that a little patronizing? To say the system is a disease implies that we, the consumers, are just infected cells, rather than humans making choices. That cancerous efficiency has actually lifted billions out of poverty. It has delivered global travel, smartphones, vaccines.
But has it really? Or has it just monetized their existence? The text argues those benefits are often illusory, or they come at a massive cost hidden by the accounting books. And this brings us to the core mechanism of the disease. The decoupling. McMurtry points to 1973 as a fatal turning point.
Ah, the end of the gold standard.
Exactly. The moment the US dollar decoupled from gold. Before 1973, money was tethered to something physical. After that, we moved to a currency backed only by debt and, as the text explicitly notes, military enforcement. That allowed the money sequence to completely unhook from reality.
Right. But
now you can create wealth through pure speculation, betting on bets, without ever producing a single tangible thing that sustains life. It is the difference between growing corn to feed people and betting on the future price of corn derivatives. One feeds the host, the other feeds the sequence.
I have to push back on 1973 being the root of all evil here. Moving to a flexible fiat currency allows for monetary policy. It lets central banks stabilize economies during massive shocks. If we were still on the gold standard, the Great Recession would have likely been a full-blown Great Depression. McMurtry views this as the system becoming ungrounded, but the alternative is a rigid system that cannot adapt. And this concept of life capital, it sounds noble, but how do you actually measure it?
You measure it by the capacity of the host to survive. clean air, a breathable atmosphere, accessible water, social trust.
But the market tries to do that. The text critiques the pricing of ecosystem services, like putting a price on water usage. But isn't pricing nature the most effective way to save it? If water is expensive, people do not waste it. That is not cancer. That is conservation.
It looks like conservation, but the text argues it is actually colonization. McMurtry cites Willem Buter, who was a chief economist at Citigroup. Buter described water not as a fundamental human right, but as a commodity-based asset class that would eventually dwarf oil and copper.
Yeah, that is a very stark way to put it.
It's chilling. When you price water in this system, you aren't conserving it for life. You are turning it into a vehicle for money sequence multiplication. The goal becomes profiting from scarcity. If the price of water goes so high that poor communities cannot drink, the market calls that efficient, because demand equals supply. But in life terms, it is fatal. That is the metastasis.
Okay, I can see the moral hazard there. If the only value recognized is exchange value, then a thirsty child with no money has zero value to the market model. That is a serious flaw. But let us look at the defenses. If this is a cancer attacking a host, usually a host fights back. Biology has an immune system. Society has what? Government?
The social immune system. These are the structures we evolve to protect the community. Public infrastructure, labor unions, environmental regulations, the welfare state, the civil commons.
And McMurtry's argument is that the cancer actively suppresses this immune system?
Precisely. Look at the evidence he provides. The systematic dismantling of the welfare state, the stripping of the public sector in places like Greece to pay off foreign banks, and specifically, supranational trade treaties like NAFTA or the WTO.
You call them immune suppressors. Most economists call them barriers to trade. Removing them creates wealth and lowers prices for everyone.
For whom? These treaties override democratic laws. If a nation passes an environmental law that reduces corporate profit, they can be sued in secret tribunals. That is the cancer tricking the immune system into standing down. The text even quotes David Rockefeller at a Bilderberg meeting in 1991, thanking the press for their silence so they could build a supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and bankers.
All right, the Rockefeller quote is highly elitist. I will grant you that. But does it prove a carcinogenic mutation or just that bankers really like stability? The text suggests a level of intentionality that I find hard to swallow. For instance, it dismisses public-private partnerships entirely. I would argue PPPs are genuine attempts to fix the system by leveraging private efficiency for public good, building hospitals, schools, transit.
The text calls that looting.
Looting? That feels hyperbolic.
He calls it a carcinogenic investment cycle. Think about how these partnerships actually work. The public takes the risk and provides the initial funds or the land. The private sector takes the profit and the management contracts. You hand over life capital, like a hospital, to a money sequence manager. What happens? They cut costs to maximize their return. Staff gets cut, safety goes down, prices go up. The efficiency you speak of is just the stripping of life functions to feed the bottom line. It is the tumor taking over the organ's blood supply.
That is a heavy charge. But let us look at where the text attacks solutions that many people widely support. The green energy revolution. If capitalism is so life-blind, why is there such a massive rush into green energy? Wind, solar, biofuels. Surely, this contradicts the idea that the system is just blindly trying to kill the host.
You would think so. But McMurtry deconstructs the green energy revolution as another false cure. He calls it a feeding cycle.
How can wind power be a feeding cycle? It is wind. It's free.
He is not attacking the physics of wind. He is attacking the corporate implementation. The text describes monolithic cement tower turbines pushed by corporate lobbies. They capture public subsidies, but they are often ecologically destructive. They kill birds and bats. They cause infrasonic hum issues for locals. They aren't community-based solutions for local needs. They are industrial projects for profit. It's not about getting energy to the village. It's about getting subsidies to the corporation.
And biofuels?
Even worse, according to the text.
You are using arable land to grow fuel for cars instead of food for people. It spikes food prices for the world's poor. It relies on industrial agriculture, GMO corn, and heavy fossil fuels to produce the ethanol. It is the money sequence pretending to be a life sequence. It looks green, but under the microscope, it is just another way to turn life into money.
I feel like he is letting the perfect be the enemy of the good here. We need energy. But this leads me to a massive factor that the text aggressively dismisses: overpopulation. Isn't the core problem simply that there are over 7 billion of us? We are overloading the Earth's carrying capacity just by existing.
The text calls the overpopulation argument shallow and essentially a way to blame the victims.
How is it blaming the victim? It is basic math. Finite planet, exponential population.
It is bad math because it assumes every human consumes the same amount. McMurtry argues the real issue is the deregulated exponential growth of money sequences. A very small percentage of the global population, the wealthy and the corporate sector, consumes the vast majority of resources. The poor majority actually consume very little. Blaming too many people is a distraction. It allows the cancer to say, the problem isn't my voracious appetite. The problem is that the host is too small.
That is a very compelling reframe. It shifts the guilt from biological existence to economic behavior. But let us pivot to the financial side of this. If this system is a cancer and cancer kills the host, why hasn't the economy collapsed completely? We had the 2008 crash, but we are still here. Markets are hitting record highs. If the patient is dying, why does he look so energetic?
Because he is on a stimulant. Look at the treatment for the 2008 crash. The text argues the system survives via a Ponzi scheme on Ponzi schemes.
You are referring to quantitative easing?
Exactly. When the 2008 crash hit, which was a massive organ failure, the solution wasn't to fix the lifestyle. It was a massive transfusion. Quantitative easing was just public money poured into private banks to keep the money sequence alive.
It prevented a depression. It kept the ATMs working. If the banks failed, regular people would have lost everything.
It kept the tumor growing. The text notes a terrifying statistic. 97% of circulating money is now created by private debt issuance, not public legal tender. We are paying debt service to private banks for money they created out of thin air. To pay that interest, we strip social programs, education, and healthcare. We are literally dissolving the host's muscles to feed the parasite. The market highs aren't health, they are the fever of the infection.
I see the logic, even if I resist the total condemnation. But where does that leave the economists? McMurtry seems to suggest that every economist from Friedman to Keynes is guilty of malpractice. He calls neoclassical models autistic notations. That is incredibly harsh language.
It is. But he argues that the mathematical incarceration of economics prevents them from seeing reality. They measure demand only as money. If you have no money, you have no needs in the eyes of the model. He calls for a paradigm shift. We need to reground economics in life capital. The primary goal cannot be GDP. It has to be the functioning contribution to society's real life requirements.
I think we can agree that life capital is a necessary corrective. We have certainly become too obsessed with stock prices as a proxy for human well-being. However, where I continue to struggle is with the cancer absolute. The text implies a fatal malignancy. I prefer to think of it as a deeply flawed system that can be reformed. Can't we strengthen the civil commons without tearing down the entire market structure? Can't we just have better regulations?
The text would argue that you cannot bargain with a cancer. You cannot ask a tumor to be moderately invasive. The logic of the money sequence is self-multiplying and unbound. If left unchecked, it will consume the host. It is a binary choice: money sequence freedom or life capital. You cannot serve both masters. If the system is designed to grow money at the expense of life, any regulation is just a temporary obstacle that the cancer will eventually mutate around.
And that is the terrifying coherence of McMurtry's argument. Even if I reject the totalizing nature of the diagnosis, the symptoms he lists are undeniable. The financialization of nature, the stripping of the public sector, the explosion of private debt,
These are real, measurable trends.
And the invisible hand has become a supranational fist. The text challenges us to look beyond the propaganda. We are told trade treaties bring freedom. The text shows they bring corporate sovereignty. We are told the bailout saved the economy. The text shows it looted the public treasury. We are told green energy is saving the planet. The text shows it is just a new market for industrial giants.
So we are left with a fundamental choice of paradigms. Is the global capitalist system a flawed engine of prosperity that needs better filters and stronger regulations? Or is it, as Dr. McMurtry articulates, a stage for cancer that has metastasized into our government, our environment, and our very concept of value?
Precisely. The diagnosis is in. The prognosis really depends on whether the patient, human society, is willing to undergo the radical treatment required to recover the civil commons.
It is certainly a perspective that, once seen, is very hard to unsee. It forces us to ask what we are actually growing and what we are killing to grow it. There is clearly a lot more to explore in this material.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us on The Debate.